Our gospel lesson this morning is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I have a question for our scouts and for anyone who has ever gone on a backpacking trip or a camping trip. We've already heard a little bit about what it's like to pack a tent and not have the stakes with you. And I think many of us have those stories. But let's pretend for a second that Jesus is giving us advice about what to take on a backpacking trip. Now, I invite you to say aloud some of the things that you usually take on a backpacking trip, and let's find out if Jesus would let you take it. So what do you normally take on a backpacking trip? And yes?
Rain gear.
Rain gear. Jesus says no. You cannot take rain gear. What else?
A backpack.
A backpack. Believe it or not, Jesus says no. Yeah. Pardon me?
Sleeping bag.
Sleeping bag. Jesus says no. Yes.
Jacket.
Only if you're wearing it when you start off. Because Jesus says you cannot bring a change of clothes. So the only clothes you can bring on this trip are the clothes you're wearing. Anything else? Yes.
A stove.
A stat what?
A gas stove.
A gas stove? No. You cannot bring that. Yes.
A pad or some kind of sleep on.
No. Yes.
Close toed shoes.
Actually, no. You can only have sandals. What else? No food. Now, one thing you can bring, no one's mentioned yet, is a walking stick. You can bring your hiking stick. Apparently not two if you use two, but you can bring one. And in these passages from Mark, Jesus gives his disciples traveling advice about what they can carry and not carry. And the only things they're allowed to carry are their staff, the sandals that they happen to be wearing, and the clothes that they're wearing. They could not even take a bath. Now, traveling cynic philosophers were allowed to take a bag. And it was sometimes called a begging bag. They would rely on the hospitality of others, and whatever people gave them, they would put in their bag. But Jesus says to the disciples, "You're going to do the cynics one better. You can't even take the bag." Now, another big difference is that when the cynics traveled, they did not interact with the people in the towns and villages that they were traveling through. They were kind of cynical about them, you might say. But that was actually part of their philosophy. They were not really to interact with the people along the journey. But when Jesus sends his disciples out, they are supposed to interact. And once they're invited into someone's home, they're supposed to stay there until it's time to leave. They're not supposed to like be there for a night and the next day look for better accommodations. No. Be grateful for the hospitality that you are receiving at that moment, and stay there as long as you need to. And if someone doesn't welcome them, they're not to get overly angry, but simply to shake the dust off their feet. And one of the main duties of a host in that time was to wash the feet of the guests who had been traveling, because feet get very dirty when you're wearing sandals on roads that are made of dirt and rock. And so if someone did not offer you hospitality, if they did not offer to wash your feet, well, you could simply shake the dust off as a testimony against them that they did not give you that hospitality. But then you move on. You don't get revenge, you just move on. This was Jesus' advice to his disciples. Because they could only carry what they were wearing, their own sandals and their walking stick, they had to rely completely on the hospitality of people along the way. They had to trust God completely for the journey. And missionaries through the years have often had to travel like. Fred Craddock was a wonderful preacher and storyteller, and he tells about a friend he grew up with who became a missionary in China. And this was many years ago when Chairman Mao was still in power. And because Christianity was looked at with askance, they were under house arrest. The missionary and his family, his wife and two kids, they were all under house arrest. And then one day the word came back that they could go back to the United States, but they were only allowed 200 pounds of luggage, no more. And so between the husband, the wife, and the two kids, they looked at all their possessions. What was the most important? Was it the new typewriter? Was it some of the new clothes? They very carefully played things out, and they got everything to where it weighed 199.9 pounds. And they were ready to go. And then the officials arrived the next day. The family told them that they had weighed everything. They had under 200 pounds, and they were ready to go. And the first question that the officials asked was, "Did you weigh the kids?" And suddenly, all those other things that they thought were important were considerably less important. They had to weigh the kids first. And there are times when our priorities really do shift in a second. What we thought was important in an instant is not important at all. And while most of us are not missionaries on a journey and forced to require to travel extremely light, it is a good question for us, for those of us who are more settled, who have been in our homes for decades maybe, who have our lives in school or at our workplace, all very routine, all very settled. What does it mean for us to travel light? What does it mean for us to utterly rely on God and the hospitality of others? What does it take to travel through life with open hands, ready to receive, as opposed to clenched fists, clutching on tightly to our possessions, to our status? What does it mean to go through life like this? Many years ago, I had an opportunity to travel through Nicaragua right after Hurricane Mitch. Hurricane Mitch hit Nicaragua in the fall of 1998, and when it arrived in Nicaragua, it just hovered there for days, and it rained and rained and rained. And in one village that was near an extinct volcano, the volcano crater completely filled up with water, and then it collapsed, and the village was washed away in a mudslide. Well, in January of 1999, I happened to be traveling there with a group from my seminary, and we changed our itinerary so that we could visit the site of the destroyed village and to learn what was being done there. And I'll never forget this. We all met a man named Juan Antonio, and he told us his story. And he had lost his entire family in that mudslide. He had spent days and days looking for them, never found any sign of them whatsoever. And then he told us in Spanish, "No tengo ningún consuelo que Dios." I have no consolation but God. And of course, that was unbelievably sad. But even in the Spanish, I could hear with all that sadness a little bit of hope. Even as devastated as he was, even as sad and heartbroken as he was. When he said, I have no consolation but God. He said it in such a way that he knew that would be enough. Not that every day he felt like, oh, it's enough, but ultimately, it would be enough. How do we travel life? How do we receive only what we need and not clutch onto all the things that ultimately give us a false security? It takes discernment. I can't give you an easy answer for this. It's a question that each of us has to ask on our own. But also you'll notice that in Jesus' instructions to the disciples, they were supposed to travel in pairs. And so we have companions on this journey. We have people that we can talk to about these things. We have people that we can ask to pray for us. We can share our stories. Stories that illuminate what's really important to us and why. And we can remember that no matter what, we are all on this road together. We make the road by walking. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.